I hope you guys have been enjoying this class. For me, this is not just a subject to teach, but again, today we'll have some time to pray and really ask God to give us more of His Spirit. And I think more than anything, my heart behind this is to maybe explain the why, because sometimes you maybe don't get an explanation. You just see things happen in our Bethel world, just in the body of Christ, charismatic world, where people believe in spiritual gifts. You just see them operate, and then you maybe are like, "Hold on, what just happened? What was that? I know something happened, but I didn't understand what it was." And so that's our heart. That's why we're doing these classes again. It's to teach, and we know that teaching is about explaining, understanding. You know, the scriptures are real clear. Satan steals the word when there's not understanding. And so what we want to be is people who understand what it is that God's doing, understand what He's trying to do, and we're in line with it. And so I was pulling up here all of our questions just to make sure we had addressed them all, because that's what good teachers do, right? Okay, somebody asked me what was my favorite. All right, let's see, another question was, how do you cultivate spiritual gifts? We'll actually cover a good chunk of that next week with Dr. Renee. She will be here to finish out this classes. Let's see, does God only give one gift? Per person. Yeah, he kind of divvies it out. Wouldn't that be good? And we talked about the real and the fake usage a little bit already. So I'm going to cross that one out, but that was one of the questions. How do you know you have them? Let me see, last couple. Sorry, here to turn my back to you guys. How do you know it's spiritual? A natural, so I'm just going to put that as spiritual versus natural giftedness. I think we already kind of addressed that one earlier. We're talking about the gifts and grace. How young can someone be? Age for gifts. Somebody asked that about their grandkid or something. And do they all come at once? These are some of them. Any other questions you guys may have, just kind of as we get started here, and again, hoping that I have an answer. I might not. Any other questions, you say, man, I hope we cover this today in talking about spiritual gifts. What a big subject. See how it goes? See if it gets all answered?
Yeah.
I think for me, the most important thing is to really be able to discern mm-hmm. if it is what you are seeing is right or is fake.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's something like, oh, wow, that is...
Yeah, so maybe how to discern.
Yes.
Is it from God or not, right? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes in the world you understand that in order to have a communication you need to be eager to listen. Right?
Yeah.
But the spiritual, I think I'm not sure, but I think it has is an ingredient, an important ingredient.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would like you to really elaborate more.
Yeah. Faith is a huge part of it.
Why is there so much emphasis placed on tongues above the other gifts?
Great. I'll just put emphasis on tongues. What's up with that? Sounds strange, isn't it?
It's good. I think it's the most, like, it draws more attention to it. Like, it's more visible, so people, like, question it more.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one way to look at it. Yeah, maybe. She says, you know, why the emphasis on tongues? She said, well, maybe it's because of the uniqueness, the intrigue that it brings about.
Right? I think I'm asking why as a body?
Yeah.
Why does Bethel?
Yeah.
Put
put?
Talk about the tongue so much, yeah.
Yes.
Great question, great question.
Above the other.
Yeah, yeah, great question. I know you weren't here the first week. We covered a little bit of it.
Yeah, that's
so, No. We covered it quite a bit. I'll give you the short cliff note. Actually, we're going to look at, open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 12. If you have a Bible, it's in your notes as well. This is what today, as far as the notes are, will be about. And we're going to look at, actually, an overview of all of the gifts. We're going to look specifically, though, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Okay, so just the list of gifts that Paul kind of gives in that section of Scripture. And we've talked the first week about the Holy Spirit, how the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the word we use, but really that's the biblical words would be filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. There's different words that would kind of encompass what we mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they use the word baptism. Sometimes it just means, it says that they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What is it? And so we were looking at examining really what the Scriptures say, and what we found is that over and over again, people encounter not just the gospel and the good news about Jesus Christ, but they received really what we would term a secondary mean of grace, or secondary an action that happened in their life. It wasn't just that now they had a one-way ticket to heaven, or they felt a warm fuzzy, but now they had something supernaturally powerful that was came into their life and out of their life. And really, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about, is you being so immersed with God's power and who He is, that now it has to flow out. We said before, one of our verses we looked at was in John, how rivers of living water would flow from within. He talked about that. He talked about the Holy Spirit, and that was Jesus' words. And that this was a gift and a promise. So we've been talking about spiritual gifts in this class, but it's all based on this promise, that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. That that sons and daughters would prophesy, as how the prophet Joel has said it. That what happened to the apostles in the upper room, what happened there was that God had already told them that if you're to wait into the city, Jesus had told them, wait into the city until you're endued with power from on high. So what happened in the early church was that they realized Jesus said it was essential. I think that's the thing I hope you guys are taking away from these 4 weeks, is for the early church, they thought it essential that you cannot go and live the life that God wants you to live unless you receive God's power, unless you receive the Holy Spirit in such a way that it's tangible to you and those around you. It's not just something that you kind of, something happened on the inside of me. I can't even articulate it. Nobody knows. Nobody. It was an encounter with God in another way, and we talked through all of the different times in Acts where someone got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about how actually through the spiritual gifts in Romans 12. And this week we're looking at the gifts that are listed here in Romans. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. So someone read that here, 4 through 11 there. It should be in your notes. And we'll kind of overview. We'll hit on some of this question you're asking about tongues, and we'll make sure we hit some of these before we have some time of prayer today. Somebody read that to us with some faith.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills.
All right, so this is, again, he's addressing, and he started, if you remember from the first week, he started with, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. This is Paul's focus and topic of 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. And He's trying in a lot of ways. This is the picture, and again, we just don't have time to kind of read it all, but when you read 12, 13, and 14, you get the picture that this is a very chaotic series of church services they're having. I mean, when this church of Corinth gets together, they are shouting in tongues maybe somebody's prophesying. There is a lot of chaos. That's why one of the verses in 14 later, he says, God's not a God of disorder. He's not a God of confusion. God's not giving spiritual gifts to people so that they can now have an unbeliever sit there. That's another thing he addresses. An unbeliever sit there and watch them and go, okay, this is crazy. I will go now somewhere else. And like it's actually supposed to draw people in. The power of God being on display or working in people's lives should bring people to their knees. He even talks about that, an unbeliever falling to their knees as these gifts are. Again, it's not the gifts that's drawn them to their knees. It's that God is they're realizing God is in this place. God is here. He knows exactly who I am and what I'm going through. That's what draws them to their knees. And so this awe, this reverence of God. So I love that there's a variety of gifts. There's this diversity. We talk about that a lot at Bethel. But you know what that means? That there's room for misunderstanding. There's room for some chaos to happen, really, in God's economy. The ability that this could go wrong. We could not be in sync, right? We were talking about that a little bit. Somebody had that question. But we're going to talk through each of these, and they can actually work together. Let me say this, just a couple of, goes with a couple of the questions. You may see some of these gifts in yourself, other people. It's not like you just get one. It's not like God says, okay, I'm just going to give you just one of all of these. From Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, you just get one. Or you just get a really weak dose of one. But it might be a mixture. I found that when the Holy Spirit, again, it's not listed here, but it's the verse before, it says he's given the Holy Spirit for the common good. When he manifests himself, it's for the common good. And so when that happens, that sometimes these gifts get mixed in. I think some of these, we'll talk through it as well, it's almost impossible to have one without the other. So like healing. I've never seen someone with the gift of healing not also have a gift of faith. There's just exorbitant confidence in who God is, what he said, and listen, get over here right now. I'm telling you, you're going to walk.
Amen.
There's not this kind of, oh, well, I don't know, but you know, I got this power that happens in my hand, and it just gets real warm, and just, if you have any time, if you could, I'm not sure, don't want to bother you. It's like the opposite. I believe you can walk today. Will you let me pray for you right now? I believe God wants to. It's a faith that they have. That's again supernatural. It's not just we all have faith. God's given every person a measure of faith. But again, we're talking about supernatural, spirit empowered things today. So let's run through these real briefly. One's the word of wisdom. Again, we're breaking this down because you can read those, skip over it, have visions in your mind, pictures, church meetings you've been in before, movies you've seen, and you think what some of these things are. But again, we want to break this down. So what is the scripture actually saying? And so the word of wisdom, this gift can be described as a spirit imparted wisdom to help people or address a situation according to God's will. The ESV translates this Greek word as the utterance of wisdom. The NIV has the message of wisdom. The actual Greek word is logos. It just literally means word. the same is true for the word of knowledge. So there is this word that God gives that is able to connect the dots. Look at this. And again, let me back up 1 second before we dive into spiritual gifts. I want you guys to see if you see Jesus' ministry in all these gifts. See, as we read these, to see if you see the life and the extension of Jesus' ministry happening in all these gifts, all right? So here, people marveled at the wisdom of Jesus. Matthew 22 is a great example, as well as 13. You know, I'm thinking one of those is where, you know, they're trying to catch him in his words. You know, another time they said, well, who needs to pay the temple tax? And Jesus gets his way out of that one like only he could. He says, oh, well, whose face is on that coin? So they want to say, okay, are you Republican or are you Democrat? Who are you? Because as soon as you tell me, I'm ready to jump down your throat because I'm on the other side. And he comes right with the message from heaven. Okay, whose face is on that coin? Oh, it's Caesar's. Well, give Caesar's what's his. Because, you know, there were groups of Jews that said, no, you don't pay the tax, rebel, you know, let's fight against the power, let's stick it to the man. You know, we'll fight it till the end. There were other groups that said, oh yeah, we'll pay the tax, that's what you're supposed to do. They'll get out of here eventually. You know, let's just do what we're supposed to do. And Jesus says, no, I got a higher level, I'm over on it. And then he says, give to God, though, what's God's. That's powerful, that's wisdom. That's a word. Like you, God has to help you with that. That's not just I've been thinking up at night. I can't wait till somebody asks me this question. That's on the spot, God, right? Concerning Stephen, Luke records that his opponents could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. The word of wisdom may come to a person by means of a conscious impression from God. It could be in a dream or in a vision. And so I've had moments where I've operated in a word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, I'll say, we'll delineate here, the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom applies to someone's situation to help them to, solve the problem. So it's, you know, I find that gift, you need some friends with that gift. Amen. When you have a problem in a situation and you don't know it. And what I found is if I talk to enough believers who love Jesus, God will manifest this gift in somebody. And they'll say, you know what? This is what you should do.
Parent,
too. Yeah. Parents always got it. No, miss. If you're a wife, you always got it. No, miss. It's just, you got it. So, look, he's like, I'm making some good talks home now as we say these things. But no, it's serious. There's plenty of times. You're right. Parents, family members, people. Again, sometimes it's not the people you want to hear it from. But God will manifest, again, the Spirit for the common good. He's called the Spirit of Truth. God wants to get us what we need to accomplish His mission, His purpose. Next, the word of knowledge. This gift can be described as the Spirit imparted knowledge to help people or address a situation according to God's will. It is understood to be information that was previously unknown to the recipient. It isn't acquired through human inquiry or study. The word of knowledge likewise may come to people by a means of a conscious impression from God, a dream, a vision, something along those lines. I've seen the word of knowledge break open some really hard hearts. I mean, to the point, because really not what we're saying here with word of knowledge, someone is able to tell you what only that person and God would know. So you're not saying to someone things that they don't know. Where again, that's more of the word of wisdom. I'm going to tell you something you might not understand, but you probably have you thought about like getting up a little bit earlier and praying about that situation? Ah, no, I never thought about that. That might have been from God. That's the word of wisdom, right? I didn't know what to do. The word of knowledge is to tell you what you already know, but they don't know unless God told them. Again, I've seen hardened hearts break wide open simply because you walk up and just say, hey, is your mom sick? I don't know why I just felt the need that I'm supposed to ask you to pray for your mom. And a person break. And oh, they go, how do you know? What? You know what? She does have this. And it messes with them in a good way. The Holy Spirit is trying to get to that person to say, you know what? God knows you. He cares about you. Again, I said this the first week, and I'll say it, I'm sorry, when we started talking about spiritual gifts, all of these, when they're operating, you feel like God loves you. You can sense it. It's tangible. You're like, oh my gosh, He does care. He sees me exactly where I am, what I'm going through. An example is found in Acts, when the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that Ananias lied to the apostles. I think about, again, I'm thinking about the ministry of Jesus. He looks at Nathanael. He's sitting under a tree. He says, oh man, there's not a more righteous person in all of Israel. Nathanael goes, oh my goodness, who are you? I'm following you now. He says, I don't know you, and you don't know me, but you sure are acting like it. Right? It's this word of knowledge, and it's very powerful. Peter, yeah, Ananias walks in and he says, oh, you're lying. You saved some of that money for yourself and you said you were even all dead. Same thing happened to his wife. Yeah. And so the word of knowledge was powerful. It said that then the fear of the Lord spread among the people. So that again, God wasn't just judging someone for no reason. God was moving, and he was not going to allow the frailties of humanity to stop it. Faith. Next is the gift of faith. Again, to be clear, every person has a measure of faith. We read that last week as well. God has given us a gift of faith. There's not a person. All of y'all sat down in those chairs today. Nobody examined the bottom and to see the maker and the manufacturer and the year and the, looked it up online and Googled the, recall.
Investigated the chair before I sat down.
You did? The Meharry student. See, of course, I'm messing. We all live by faith. It is like oxygen. It is the sixth sense of this world. We live by taste and touch and sight and what we hear and all these different things. The five senses are great, but there's a sixth sense of faith. We all have got that. We might not be, atheists, skeptics, people with hardened hearts, they tend to not, I don't live by faith. I'm rational. I think about it, thought about it. It's like, no. There's things that you just believe. You just do it. You just believe that you were at the gas station pumping your gas and that it was going in there. You don't know. It could have. I always be thinking, did it really start? Did it really start? Okay, it's going out. Yeah, and it gets $10 a gallon. You scrambling. But it's by faith. I do that, right? We do all kinds of things by faith. But we're talking about the gift of faith. This is supernatural. The people that I've been around that have the gift of faith, at times they drive you crazy. Why I say that? They see things. It's not that they're like in another place, like you're talking to them and they're another, like that. But it's like they can just see it before it happens. But it's so big and massive. You are like, how did you see that? How could that ever happen? Are you like, you think that's going to happen? Like, do you know what it's going to take? I remember my first pastor, he started our Bethel congregation in Murfreesboro. He had the gift of faith. By the time he came to start our church in Murfreesboro, I believe we were the fifth church he had started. He had lived in Peru, the Amazon jungles. He had babies in the Amazon jungles. I mean, this man is a mighty man of faith. He's left Murfreesboro, after pastoring there for about, 8 years, and then he's planted like three other churches since then. He just has a gift of faith. He just sees things, and he can see it before it happens. He sees, if we just do this, we do this, we do this. Come on, look. There were just so many times he was like, let's just go talk to them right now. And I'm like, go talk to them? Like, they're not going to want to listen to what we have to say about Jesus, about God. I know, but let's just go. And we would show up at places. We'd show up at fraternity houses. And he would just preach and think things would start happening. I'm like, man, I didn't see or believe any of that. I mean, I knew God could do stuff, but the things in the wake that he would cause from his faith was amazing. And so, you want to have somebody with the gift of faith on speed dial in your life. This gift of faith is distinct from faith that arises from normal means that God uses to strengthen us, such as reading scripture and listening to biblical preaching and teaching. The gift of faith often comes when God intends to perform a great work. It's often manifested by a sudden burst of bold speech and action. The gift of faith. It's reasonable to presume that the gift of faith was being manifest when Peter boldly declared healing and took the crippled man from the beautiful gate at birth at Acts 3. He said, silver and gold I don't have, but the name of Jesus I do have, get up and walk. Man gets up and walks. Astonished everyone. Paul boldly confronted a sorcerer and declared that God would strike him blind. Again, you read some of the stuff in the Bible, you just think the Bible is a nice book of bedtime stories. You start reading some of the stuff, you go, who is he talking to like that? I ain't never seen my pastor talk to somebody like that. I was like, no, this is what, this man was living by faith. And this gift of faith, so to speak, surged out of him. And he, this man was struck blind because he was coming against what God was trying to do. So that's the gift of faith. I often see the gift of faith manifested with the next one, the gift of healing. This gift can be described as a spirit-empowered ability to heal someone apart from natural or medical means. The original biblical text lists this, the word of healing, as healings. That's why you see it there in apostrophe S. So it's a plural word in the Greek, which suggests there's a variety of forms of this gift. In some cases, certain believers are used more frequently by God to bring about specific kinds of of healing. I always give the example. I had a seminary class with a professor, Dr. Peter Wagner, and he's written tons of books. I mean, he was a brilliant scholar, well-respected, the body of Christ, written a lot of books about spiritual gifts. He, one of the top spiritual gifts tests that kind of circulates amongst churches, he helped to write. And I was in a class with him, and again, he would teach us, but at the end of each class for a week straight, he would just call up anybody that had back pain. And he, just like we're sitting up here, they would come sit on a chair, and he would have them do something. I mean, again, to me, this is new, but he would have them, you know, sit down and stretch their legs out. And what we, you know, it was without a doubt, people that had the back pain, one leg was longer than the other. It was without, you know, every single person. I mean, in this class, we had 60 people from all over the world, so it wasn't like it was, and these were all every nation people. And it was amazing, because he'd start to pray a simple prayer, and their legs would grow out.
What?
Right there in the class. This was crazy. And for us, we were like, oh my goodness, we're also watching this. And these are classmates. Even their legs are growing, and they're going, oh my goodness, you know. But here was the thing with this. He said, you know what, because again, he's a very academic, you know, guy as well. He said, you know what, I prayed for God for the gift of healing for years, years and years. But I started to statistically keep up with which prayers God answered. Mm-hmm. And he said, what I realized is it was almost as if God had given me a special grace to pray for people's backs. And that's how he got to this point. And so that was a, for him, the healing ministry he had was praying for people's backs and their legs to grow out. And again, this sounds strange and odd, but I'm telling you, the gift of healing, people, God can give people specific types, specific ways. I think too, as well, we can broadly say there's some people maybe that are gifted with really dealing with inner core issues of healing, you know, emotional. Thank you. There's others, you know, again, maybe it's the physical healing, maybe it's mental. I think that again, I will say don't feel like you have to back off and be like, well, I don't know if I have mental or back or whatever. Just step out of faith. That's just what he did. He just kept stepping out of faith, even when the answer didn't happen immediately or instantaneously. He just kept stepping out of faith, trusting God. And so, again, the gift of healing, you got to have some faith for it, right? To be able to step out and pray to ask God to heal someone. The gift of healing serves as a sign to authenticate, though, the gospel and demonstrate the nature of the kingdom of God. It points to the ultimate redemption of the human body. Let me say it this way. Is there any sickness or broken bodies in heaven? So why would we ever be afraid to pray for someone if Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, just as it what? Is in heaven. We should never back off of that. We should never feel like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know enough Bible. I haven't been to church enough. No, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit enough to say, you know what? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is inside of me. And I'm not Jesus, but I sure am his agent to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish in the world through me. And so, again, God's glorified when his power and love are shown. Again, think if you were sick. Think if you were the man at the beautiful gate and someone finally says, get up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Do you think he felt like God loved him then? Heck yeah. The same for anyone that's in our life that again, we have the opportunity to pray for healing. And this gift of healing, some of us, this is our grace, or this is the gift that God has given us to the body and to the world. So let's step out. Let's begin to pray and believe God. Next, working of miracles, we'll motor through these last ones to leave us some time for prayer here. The working of miracles, this gift can be described as spirit-empowered ability to perform powerful acts that transcend the ordinary course of nature. Again, that might sound like healing, but to me, the miraculous, it's a little bit broader than just the physical body. A lot of times healing, again, we're thinking physical body, maybe even relationships being healed, but miracles now we're extending it to, it could be nature. It could be, physical things outside of the human body. So miracles like healing serve to confirm the gospel and to glorify God, as well as many cases show mercy to people. Acts chapter 5, 12 through 15 says this: "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets, laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them."
What was the verse?
Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 15. And this is powerful because miracles are not for miracle's sake. They're so that the gospel will spread and people will believe and receive not just God into their heart, but now that this powerful God wants a real relationship with them. Anything's possible now. If He can step in and stop weather or shift patterns that again, naturally, normally, this is the way things would go, but He can step in and stop a hurricane or stop a storm. Or if He can step in and allow people to not be crushed under some terrible weight or building falling or bridge or something along those lines. Listen, God can do anything. Miracles have been manifested in a wide variety of ways. Biblically, Paul healed people through handkerchiefs and aprons. Jesus changed water into wine. He walked on water. Paul struck an enemy of the gospel with blindness, we talked about earlier. There's so many examples of miracles in the Bible. And so this is important for us to recognize.
Is Moses, like when he parted the sea, mm-hmm. are those miracles, or was that like, because there are miracles, but it was like, it was God's doing.
Yeah. So miracles is God's doing.
Yeah.
So it's not the person's not doing it, just like the person doesn't heal.
But like he told him, like, I'm going to part the sea, and he wanted to.
Yeah.
So like miracles can be, I don't know, like said before doing.
Yeah, that could be God ordained. I think that's a part of what makes it miraculous is that God's intervention is here. And God knows everything, right? So, I mean, He could, red car is going to pull in front of you, slow down. He could give us play-by-play for every moment of our life, but He doesn't do that. What he does do is He invites us to believe Him in every situation. And where He puts His believers, He invites us, especially those that are filled with the Holy Spirit. He puts us right where we're supposed to be. I'll say it this way, in situations that are dire in need of a miracle. He puts Moses right there at the Red Sea in need of, hey, we're all going to die if you don't show up, God. And again, some people are crying out, Moses, we need to turn around and go back. They're going to kill us. You know, like everything's saying it's not going to happen. And God's saying, oh, that's why we're doing this. I'm setting all of this up so only I can get glory.
Right.
Nobody else is going to take any credit. I lifted a staff. Oh, Moses did it. What? He just lifted a staff. Like, come on. He's lifted that thing before. Nothing happened. Right? So the miracles are always to show off God. Right?
I've seen it manifested. God's done it with my mom to affect me and keep me safe in my job.
Oh, wow.
There are times once I was attempting to serve a warrant, and I managed to open a door, and a knife, an open knife, came flying out.
No way.
Right at the eye. It ended up
what?
Literally within, a centimeter or less.
Wow.
Eye, with the tip. Sharp knife.
Oh my gosh.
Break the skin.
What?
When I talked to my mom about 5 minutes later, she goes, when did that happen? I go, about 5 minutes ago. And she's like, you have no idea about that exact same time. God was telling me to pray for your safety.
Wow.
And so she was fervently praying for my safety.
Wow.
Not only did I not lose an eye, didn't even break the skin.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I think if we had time, today, I think all of us have had miraculous things happen in our life that we go, okay, only God could have stopped or slowed that down or not allowed that to happen. Or, you know, I mean, how many times have you heard those stories? I think about some of the worst tragedies in the world, 9/11. I remember there was those buildings were abnormally empty that morning. Again, if you do some of the reading of the story, they're like, where was God? 3,000 people died. He was miraculously stopping tens of thousands of people from being at work that morning. One of those people is the pastor's wife of our church in New York. She said, I was usually there at 9 a.m. every morning. I'm in the bottom of the Twin Towers. And so I say all that to say, the miraculous, we live in a world that tries to minimize it. And when you go to the world of Scripture, you realize it doesn't happen every other, I mean, every breath is a miracle, so to speak. But when it happens, there's no denying. There's no other way to explain it. There really isn't. And so, miracles is a gift from God that He gives to people to supernaturally, again, gift them to involve themselves to see miracles be accomplished. Next, prophecy. This gift can be described as Spirit-imparted ability to receive and verbally communicate a specific message from God. Prophecy, let me just say this, prophecy does not proceed from human learning or reasoning, but instead originates from God. This can be imparted to the believer by the Spirit through a variety of means, such as in the form of divinely inspired thoughts, mental images, physical sensations, etc., which are then communicated verbally. Prophecy often simply pours forth as the person speaks by the leading of the Spirit. This is important to note because, again, if I'm giving a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, sometimes people think those are prophecies. That's not the prophecy part. Now, I've seen people who prophesy use a word of knowledge and use a word of wisdom, and now they give what God wants to say. See, the part that what God wants to see, prophecy is a direct communication of what God is wanting to say, said. And the word would be rhema word, a right now word. What God's wanting you to hear right now, wanting you to know right now. That's the prophetic. And so the gift of prophecy, we don't have time to go into it. Someone asked the question about tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, he contrasts tongues and prophecy. They both have a place, but there's not the same place. And so the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, according to the New Testament, is primarily expressed to edify, exhort, encourage, and comfort God's people, and really any people. These aren't just for, you know, in church. This can be in your neighborhood. This can be at your job. God can give you a prophetic word for someone. I don't know how many times it's been, I'm just thinking about somebody over and over and over. I don't know why I'm just thinking about them. And it's just, again, not a random like person like I don't know. I'm talking about someone I do know. And God, maybe sometimes it's been just, you know what, I'm supposed to call you and encourage you. I just want to see how you're doing. I don't know why I'm just, God keeps bringing you to my mind, I believe. So, dear question?
Yeah, the word of knowledge be very together with prophecy?
Yeah.
When you prophesy, sometimes you say it's something that only then God
can. Yeah, it definitely could be. It definitely could be. I've heard people preach prophetically. I've heard people talk to other individuals and give a personal prophecy. I've in my heart, I feel like I've read books that were prophetic. Where it's like they were way ahead of their time, and it's almost like what you read their book and you go, what? This was in this was 50, 60 years ago? They wrote this 200 years ago? This is like not just a classic, they're speaking to something. And it's speaking to the either the human condition or just, you know, something that we need to hear. And again, prophetic can have a variety of ways. But yes, I believe I've seen it often. Where, again, if it's a personal prophecy especially, someone is able to say exactly what God knows, and that person knows. And it connects. Go ahead.
One question.
Mm-hmm.
When, usually when I have heard something prophetic,
mm-hmm.
it's what I see is that basically they are taking some things from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in the Bible thousands of millions of things.
Yeah,
somehow. So it's basically they are repeating something that is already written.
Yeah.
Or it's something like it's fresh.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a rule. I mean, it's really difficult to even. I know that in the spiritual realm, the logic of the world
mm-hmm.
work,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I don't know even if it is appropriate to the question to say to ask. It's something like it should be in order to be a prophecy. It should be actually from the Bible?
Yeah,
and just
good question.
Like a reminder?
Yeah, yeah. You brought up a great question. I was thinking about that too, to say something right before you. Because sometimes when we say prophecy, people think, and there's a whole stream of Christianity, they think end times. So you're just going to talk about like what's going to happen at the end. So we're thinking Book of Revelation. Let's look at all the prophetic books. You got prophetic books in the Bible. So people say, oh, prophecy, you must be just talking about a part of the Bible. And the connection here, if I hear the question right, is what's the connection maybe with Scripture and prophecy? So prophecy is not Scripture. By that meaning, it has the ability to be fallible. So someone could say, hey, I believe the Lord is telling you that now's the time to start the business or whatever it is. Okay, I'm not saying that's the prophetic word for you. I'm just saying, like, give an example. Okay, start the business. Well, now that's not in the Bible. So what the Bible says as well about prophecy is that every prophecy, prophetic utterance to you needs to be judged. So it needs to be, there need to be other people that can actually listen to it, hear it, read it, consider it, and say, hey, is this from God or not? Again, so that means that prophecy is always open to be checked out. Okay? Now Scripture as well opens itself like that. It says, hey, check me out. Check me out. Let's make sure this is a true claim or not. This is making claims about things oftentimes to be true. But the difference is we don't elevate prophecy to the level of Scripture. When I say to the level of Scripture, it is not inerrant or has the ability to be the perfect word of God consistently, again, because prophecy is coming through a broken vessel. The Scriptures are going through a broken vessel, but God allowed only the right stuff to get through. He left in their culture, their character, their way they saw the world, the things that stood out to them, their unique upbringing. He allowed that to stay in there, but he kept his word to be true. What he wanted to get done to be communicated. And so that's our view, or that is the view of Scripture. It has a high view, you know. Go ahead.
One of the basic characteristics or foundational characteristics is that prophecy is either going to edify,
mm-hmm.
exhort,
yep.
encourage,
yep.
comfort. So if it doesn't hit one of those,
that's great.
Then
it's probably not a prophetic word from the Lord.
That's
yeah.
That's how I've always
yeah.
said it.
Can you say those prayers?
It's yeah. in your notes.
Yeah, it's in the notes, but it's in 1 Corinthians 14.
Right.
That's how he starts 1 Corinthians 14. He's contrasting tongues and prophecy, and he says, listen, prophecy is meant for edification, encouragement, strengthening of the body.
Right.
Now let me say that the contrast is in the Old Testament, it was for judgment. You know, woe to you, you know, children of Israel, you Egyptians, you whatever. The prophetic word was going out saying, listen, God wants you to know your time is up. And he set a time when you're not going to rule and reign anymore. You're not going to live the way that you're living. Or you're going to repent. You're going to change. I mean, again, Ezekiel, Daniel, Haggaiah, Zephaniah. There's a lot of, they call them major and minor prophets. The major ones would be like Isaiah. And so these are prophecy, but New Testament prophecy has a little different tint to it. It's not a judgment because God has pronounced the judgment on Jesus. So now this is what happens as a result of this Jesus being here, is now you get back his blessing of he wants to help you make do with his blood that it was spilled for you. He wants you to be walking in the fullness of power. Cool, your question?
So what if you receive a prophecy and it's definitely like edifying and encouraging, but it appears to be conditional?
Hmm.
Like how do you like wade through that, especially when it involves like waiting?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So here's the thing about God: He's not He doesn't only make promises without conditions. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we think He's God; He knows everything, so He's just going to tell me what's going to happen. He's just going to inform me along the way, when really He's trying to build a relationship with us. And so there's things He's trying to nudge us in a direction, right? I mean, give you an example. Again, Jesus' ministry is what this is all about. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has come and asked me to sift you as wheat. But I pray for you. I pray that your faith don't fail. And when you turn back, or basically when you turn back to me, that you'll go back and strengthen your brothers. That's a predictive prophecy. It really, Peter's probably, you know, He even said it earlier, you know, like, oh, all of you guys are going to leave me. No, not me, Lord, I'm not going to ever deny you, you know, and he does, you know. So that's a case of, hey, there's no conditions, this is what's going to happen, right? There's other things that Jesus said, you know, when he first came to the disciples, he said, come follow me. He didn't, and I'll make you fishers of men. That was conditional on them following him. Now, I believe when he said, come follow me, he gave them all the power and ability to do that. So it was an option. It was a real option. It wasn't that he was coming to people saying, come follow me, but I'm not going to let you. He was saying, come follow me. Does that make sense? And so later on in Luke, it talks about there's some disciples that they wanted to follow him. They said, oh, no, first, but I want to go bury my father. Or you know what, I got a business, I got a, you know, let me... And he's, you know, he had some answers for them as well. What I'm saying is that sometimes God does have a condition. And he's trying to align us to want what he wants. Does that make sense? Otherwise, we'd be robots. We'd be programmatic in the sense of we couldn't have a real relationship. We couldn't truly love. It's always been the classic response to predetermined things or fatalism is the word. It's like, oh, it's already done. He's just going to tell me what's already done. No, he's going to involve you in what he's doing. There's going to be a little bit of intrigue, a little bit of how's this going to work out, a little bit of I'm going to be the father of many nations. That's a lot. Now you say, I haven't even had a kid yet, so let's start there. But if you're going to say this is what you're going to do, then I have to now come into agreement with what you said that you're going to do. Does that make sense? So that's where the faith comes in. That's where, I don't say your will, but like the aligning yourself. The heart saying, you know what God wants is what I want. And that's the Romans 12 way of life. Offering your body, living sacrifice, holy and honorable. This is the reasonable act of worship. He says, don't be transformed, be conformed to this world, be transformed and renewing your mind. Then he says, then you can test the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And so God's will and what he's wanted to have done through a prophetic word, he's trying to let you in on some things, but he's not going to give you everything. He's still going to allow you to trust him. Have that relationship with him. Does that make sense? I don't know if I fully answered that. It's a bit of that, what's the words? The sovereignty of God. He knows everything. He wants to accomplish his will. He's going to accomplish his will. Nobody ain't going to stop God in the whole universe. But yet he leaves this room for us to kind of freely go the wrong way. Does that make sense? So it's this tension. Theologians haven't figured it out. But something they have. I'm telling you, it's... this is how we're to live. He wants us to align himself. That's why he's given the prophetic word. He would not be a good God if he did not tell us some things before they happen. Again, that's what John said in the book of John. He said the Holy Spirit will tell us of things to come. So, I mean, he's going to tell us everything, but he's going to tell us of things that are coming. Back to our notes here, real brief. We were talking about the gift of prophecy. I already said about the supremacy of the authority of Scripture. All prophecies must be subordinated and judged by Scripture, Liliana. So we don't just, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? But we go back to the Bible and say, hold on, is that what God is? That is nature? That is his character? He does he really want me to go and do that? Oh, well, no, that's not you know, in line with what he wants. We talked about predictive prophecy should ordinarily only be expressed by those with godly character who are recognized and endorsed by church leadership to have a proven ministry in prophecy. So, you know, we don't run around and call hotlines and try to get prophecies everywhere we go. You know, we want to listen to prophetic words from voices that we trust. Does that make sense? You don't want to listen to prophetic voices from people you don't trust. You say, well, God used donkeys to speak. Exactly. He told him to make that a regular occurrence. That was actually a bad scenario where he had to listen to donkey because he wasn't listening to everybody else and listening to God. So you don't want to listen to donkeys. That's your lesson today. No, But God will use one if he got a prophecy should never undermine or usurp the priesthood of the believer. So that, what do I mean by that? All of us have access to God. So we're not waiting around that only a prophet can talk to God and tell me what God wants to say to me. I can talk to him myself. Amen. This is good news of the gospel, but it's also good news that there are times that God is wanting me to trust the God in someone else. Does that make sense? That he would speak and use someone else to tell me and confirm. A lot of times prophecy just confirms some things that I already was sensing. Other times he'll tell me something brand new. Hey, there's a new door opening for you. I want you to walk into it by faith, not by sight. Wow, that's okay, Lord. What does that mean? When is that? How is it? So now I'm wrestling with God about the same thing again. It's building this relationship. So don't think we're undermining that each of us has this direct access to the Lord. I've got a few left here. Distinguishing between spirits. A lot of translations say discerning spirits. I'll say the word for discernment is it's almost like able to separate a hair and separate it out to say, okay, that's God, that's not. My wife's very, very gifted at this to me. I mean, it's almost like she can go into a room and it's like spiritual antennas are up and I can tell something's off in there. That team, they got something to work out. The team, I thought they were playing good together. No, there's something wrong. They need to talk about it. You know, it's an ability to be aware and distinguish between spirits even. There's a perverse spirit in that place or in that person. They're dealing with something that's not just darkness in general. Specific. It's this thing. It's this type of spirit. It's this type of attack they're going under. And so you want to discern a spiritual person on your speed dial as well. Because they can help you navigate. Man, I'm going through. You got a spirit of confusion. We're going to cast that out right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I didn't even think about that. I didn't know what I thought. You know, okay, Leila, pray for me. Pray for me. You know, this distinguishing a spirit will cause a breakthrough. Jesus discerned that Peter was speaking by the influence of Satan when he said, don't go down the cross. Paul discerned the influence of evil spirit in the slave girl who followed Paul around his team. Peter discerned the hidden condition and intent of Simon the magician's heart when he offered money when they were laying hands for people to get filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you need this. We need this, Avengers power here. Next, various kinds of tongues. So this gift can be described as spirit-given ability to communicate to God or others in speech that is unknown and intelligible to the speaker. The Greek word for tongues is commonly translated as well, languages. Okay, it's the word there for languages. On the day of Pentecost, when the believers were first filled with the Spirit, they all spoke publicly in tongues, and many people were there from different nations. They heard them telling the mighty works of God in their own language. They're hearing them praying tongues, and they're saying their language. I've heard of testimonies of that happening current day. The book of Acts suggests that the ability to speak in tongues was a common experience for believers when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at that again, the first lesson. If you didn't get a chance to, go back and listen to our first lesson on this. But speaking in tongues was not abnormal for the first century church. 1 Corinthians, however, distinguishes between speaking in tongues for personal edification and the various kinds of tongues that are expressed for the edification of others. And so that's what, again, he's contrasting in 14, prophecy and speaking in tongues. Why is he doing that? Because they have different impacts. When you pray in tongues, you are praying directly to God. Now, you can pray in tongues and be saying something publicly, but he said that's where you need a translator or you need someone to interpret the tongues. So that it becomes a prophecy then. Everybody's hearing what God is saying. Okay, and so that's what this is going to lead us to the next one. But it seems that the ability to speak in tongues for the purpose of prayer to God was a common endowment that was given to believers as a consequence of being filled with the Spirit. But that the gift of speaking in tongues to others for their edification was only given to some. By that, again, we're just looking at the track record of the book of Acts. Most of the people that were in Acts were not trying to speak to others when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When Peter was preaching, it said that Cornelius, he goes to his house and he has this vision to go see him. And he goes to his house and it says that they started praying, basically got filled with the Holy Spirit while he's preaching. Holy Spirit didn't even wait till the end of the message and until the altar call. He just filled them with the Holy Spirit right there. It says, why? Because they heard them praising God and speaking in tongues. Now, they weren't speaking in tongues to Peter. They weren't speaking, you know, Hebrew back to him or whatever he spoke, Aramaic. They just said they were speaking in tongues. They were talking to God. So it wasn't, they weren't speaking in tongues for others. They were speaking in tongues for themselves. What it does, what speaking in tongues, let me say this last little bit about speaking in tongues. What it does is it builds you up. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. It builds you up. Why do we make a big deal about tongues or talk about it or people in prayer meetings pray in tongues? Because it builds your faith up. It builds your confidence up in the Lord. I think of it like a battery. Like we're charging ourselves up in our faith. Ability to say, you know what, God, you can do anything. You can do all things. You are here with me. You're available to every person. You whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you're going to accomplish it. If I align myself to you, I'm going to get to see it happen through me. So that's the gift of tongues. Last one here, interpretation of tongues. This gift can be described as Spirit-given ability to declare the meaning of an unintelligible utterance of tongues. Paul teaches that any time someone speaks in tongues to address the church, it must be accompanied by interpretation. Now again, some people mistranslate that and say, oh, no. Anytime somebody speaks in tongues, we need somebody right there to translate. But that's not what he's saying. Again, 12, 13, and 14 is all about the whole local church. Their gatherings together. He had just in the chapter before talked about communion. They were having the whole book of Corinthians is about their gatherings. They were having trouble getting together and living their life together. And so this is what he's addressing, is this public speaking of tongues to address everyone. The interpretation may come through this person who spoke in tongues or through another person. If you've been in church here a while, sometimes you've seen Pastor James do this. There's been times in services that I've been in the last 6 to 9 months where he's done this in the service. He'll get a word from God or a tongue message from God, and then he'll interpret it. He's done that before. I've seen him do that. And so, 1 Corinthians 14 should be understood to prohibit Christians from praying. Should not be understood to prohibit Christians from praying together in tongues, since Acts gives examples of believers doing so. This expression of tongues should not be public, however, it will bewilder others present, or if it is addressed to people without interpretation. I'll say this about tongues too. I always tell people this. You control the volume. Like, again, you guys, I'm expecting, will be ministering to other people. They'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. They'll have this gift of tongues manifest at different points of their life. Help them understand. They have the volume switch on this. It's not that God is just coming inside of their mouth and now, you know, just causing their mouth to go or something. It said that in Acts 2, it said that they all were filled with the Spirit, but they spoke in tongues. So the Spirit filled them, but they're the ones that spoke. So this is what tongues is about, is you're the one speaking, even though God's giving you the words to speak. So, any questions? We'll transition here from these. I'll say this just about some of the questions here. Some of these gifts is, how do you cultivate a gift? You work with the ones you have right now that he's given you. I'm back one step. How many gifts did the Holy Spirit have?
All
of them. How many of you have the Holy Spirit operating, working in your life? You've got access to every gift that you need. You understand that? The Spirit manifests itself for the common good. So your faith should be, because I get this idea about tongues a lot. People go, well, I don't know if I need that one. Let me just skip over and go to these other. I'm like, hold on. You need more of the Holy Spirit. Let Him give you whatever gift He wants to give you. And you be willing and ready to receive it. Don't sit here and go, well, I like this one, I don't like that one. No, I want more of Him. And if I have more of the Holy Spirit in my life, I'll have all the spiritual giftedness I need for every moment that I'll be in. Because God it will give it to me. He said, if I ask, He'll give. I'll receive. If I'll ask, I'll receive. We'll do some asking here just in a moment. So I don't know if I have a favorite. I didn't answer that one. I think they're all cool. Again, I like X-Men and Avengers and all these things. So it's just cool to see all these gifts, how they show up, you know, and how God uses people. I mean, I've seen some of the just most ordinary people just use their gift and just work in and use that gift. And you go, wow, I mean, where would we be without you? There is nobody that can do what you do the way you do it through how God expresses himself through you. That's amazing. And so I'm talking about spiritual gifts. I'm not just talking about your natural talent. I'm talking about, man, that person has a spiritual gift. Does God only give one gift? I think I just kind of addressed that one. We should be people who are ourselves asking God. Again, Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 14, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. There should be a hunger. There should be a seeking in our soul to say, God, give me more. I haven't experienced it all. I don't know it all. I know there's more of you. And we should be ministering to other people the same. You should go after this thing. Don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Don't be, I don't know. No. Go in faith. He's going to give it to you. Give you what you need. He's going to give what everyone needs. It's for the common good. How do you know you have them? There's nobody in the book of Acts that got baptized with the Holy Spirit that didn't know they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think I might have something happened in that upper room. I don't know. Everybody knew. There was a moment. You might be sitting here saying, man, I don't know if I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit then. Listen, you know if you got immersed in the Holy Spirit. When we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're talking about, yes, a first time, but then there's other times. You know, you sense his presence. You're overwhelmed. All I know how to say it is, it's not with words, but it's an experience. You know that he's with you and he's here and he's available. It's a powerful thing. And so you don't think in that moment, though, I don't want to do anything else for God. You are so filled up. You want other people to experience him. You want to use whatever he's given you. Whatever words, again, maybe gives you a word for someone. You want them to know that Jesus loves them. Maybe someone who needs to be healed. You want them to be well. And you get God's heart. And the Bible says that when Jesus was moved with compassion, it's like the word is in the Greek is that he emotionally on the inside was just ripped up. And he just had to go and go pray for them. Go touch them. Go lay his hands on them. So you know. It's like how you know anything. How you know you're saved. You have a faith and a confidence, but there's a moment that you go, you know what, I'll never forget when this happened. We talked a little bit about spiritual versus natural. All of these are beyond natural abilities. I don't think there is an age for gifts. I think if somebody has the faith to receive, they can receive everything God has for them. But Jesus said you can't even be in the kingdom if you're like a little child. He made it's simple enough where my little kids can get this. My elementary age kids can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've had 25 kids just this spring, this year, we get baptized in the Holy Spirit in our children's church. And most of them were in the last 2 months. So God's doing something. Kids can receive the Spirit just like you can be 99 years old. Does it all come at once? To me, I think it comes as you're available. I think that's the real critical thing. It's not, okay, let me just download every gift that you need for the rest of your life. Again, it's the Holy Spirit. He's got all the gifts. I'm taking my hands off the wheel to say, Lord, you take this thing where you want it to go. All right. And we'll do that here in a moment as well. Did I miss one? How to discern is from God. Again, you might need somebody with the gift of discernment to help you. You know, that's why these gifts exist. It's to help each other. So, you said what?
Might want to have him
on. Yeah, you got him also. So, you just probably need 12 on speed dial that you know keeps manifesting different gifts. And I hope your appetite is wet. We're going to take a few minutes right now. You go ahead and stand to your feet. One, because you've just been sitting this whole time. But two, just wanted to take some minutes to just pray. And this is how we're going to do this time. We're going to spend a few minutes just praying. One, just worshiping God, inviting Him in a fresh way to come into the room. And two, we'll spend some time asking God for more of His Spirit. That's where this all starts. And John said this, John the Baptist. He said that he must increase, I must decrease. And it says that he was talking about the Holy Spirit because he said, because God gives the Spirit without limit. That's the next thing he said. And so here's the thing. There is no limit to how much you can have of God. It's only how much you're willing and desiring to receive of Him. And so let's just go to the Lord. Father, we just thank You right now for who You are. We thank You for what You've done for us. We thank You that, Lord, You didn't just send Your Son. You didn't just die on the cross. But Lord, You sent Your Spirit after He ascended on high. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the ability, Lord, that we have a time that we get to live in that's not like the prophets of Old Testament or of the old ancient world where they would the Spirit would come on them, but He would leave. The Spirit would come and go. And Lord, I thank You, though, that the dove came and stayed on You, Jesus. Lord, that You're the one that You're the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, like John the Baptist said. You're the one that comes and fills us and sends the Spirit into our life. And I'm praying even now, Lord, as we're praising You and worshiping, we're so thankful, God, that You're not a God that stays away, but You're a God that comes near through the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank You that You're available to each one of us. Thank You, You're not a respecter of persons, Lord, that you're such a good God that You give good gifts to Your children. Hallelujah. And I thank You right now for the gifts that You've gifted each one of these with. Lord, as they seek You, as they call on Your name, as they ask, Lord, I thank You that they shall receive. Lord, You said as they knock, the door will be open. You said, Lord, as they seek, they'll find. And so right now, Lord, that's what we come to do, Lord. We're asking, Lord. We don't just want to learn about the Holy Spirit. We want to experience the Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't just want to hear about You. We want to know You. We want to be doers of the Word, Lord. We want to be people who take what You're trying to accomplish and say, yes, I'm ready. Lord, I just right now where You are, just ask God for more of the Spirit. Just ask God for more of His Spirit. I don't know what amount you had, but it doesn't matter. Right now, He says you can have more. You got to ask, though. It's not my faith, it's your faith right now that He's trying to activate, stir up the gifts that are inside of you. Paul said, I want to come and I want to pray for you so that there might be a spiritual gift that might be stirred up, imparted to you. God wants to impart some things to you even now. Ask Him. Ask Him. Now's the time. This is the place. This is the best environment, best time. There's no time like the present to say, God, will You do what You want to do in my life? Will You fill me up to overflowing? More of You, less of me. More of You, less of me. More of You, less of me. Oh, Lord, we're thanking You right now. We thank You, Lord. You hear the cries of our hearts. Lord, we thank You, Lord, right now that You are doing exactly what You said You would do. You are sending Your Spirit to us. We thank You right now that we can hear from God. Lord, You said Your sheep hear Your voice. Lord, we thank You that we don't have to be, Lord, those that are afraid, but we can draw near because we have a throne of grace, a God of mercy, a God of goodness. Lord, thank You that You're holy. Thank You, Lord, that You're with us. Thank You, Lord, that you're good and You send Your Spirit who's holy to be with us. Oh, Lord, we bless You right now. Just praise God from wherever you are. Just thank God for who He is. Just worship the Holy Spirit for who He is. He's God. Holy Spirit is not a third person, an extra add-on. He is God. You can worship the Holy Spirit. You can praise the Holy Spirit. He deserves it. He's accomplishing the work of your growth. He's showing you the way. He's leading you even right now. He's steering you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray right now You would fill us to overflowing. Just receive right now an overflow of God's love and grace to your life. An overflow. Not a little bit, not a drip, not a drop, a lot. Lord, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You, Lord, that You who began the good work, You're going to make sure it's done at the end. You're going to finish what You start, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bless You right now. We bless You right now. We bless You right now. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to find one other person in this room, and I want you to pray for them. Don't ask them what to pray for. Only pray what God is giving you to pray over them. God might give you a prophetic word. He might give you a gift of faith for some area of their life that God wants to see a breakthrough. But I'm telling you, God wants to use you. And so I want you to get out of your seat, maybe find someone you didn't come here with. And I want you to simply just begin to pray for them. Pray for one another. All right? Let's do that for the next few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Love you guys. I'm going to pray a general prayer for dismissal. But if you need to be prayed for to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I'd love to stay after here a few minutes and pray for you. So, Lord, thank you so much for all of my friends that are here and brothers and sisters in Christ. And just, Lord, just the amazing things that you want to release in their life. Lord, I pray specifically for this week. Lord, as they leave this place, Lord, as I was praying earlier, Lord, you've called us to be doers of your word. Lord, help us to go and to do. Lord, not because that's our primary function, but simply because we know that the Spirit is with us. Lord, you're animating us. You're putting us into action. And so, Lord, I pray you would send us to only the right people this week. Deliver us from all the wrong people, Lord. Bring us in front of people who need to know you. And, Lord, allow our heart and our love for you to grow. Lord, I pray for all the spiritual gifts that are represented here, the ones that you want to express through this class. Lord, I pray that they would be released in a fresh way. Lord, even this week, they would see you show up on the other end of the conversation, the other end of the people that they encounter. And Lord, let other people know that you're loved. They're loved by you. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.